You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up later, we'll talk about the situation in Ferguson and get a report on what happened during last night's protests.
First, our next guest wanted to explore the role that telephone hotlines play in today's society. Despite many people dismissing the telephone as a technology that's maybe on its way out, hotlines remain a popular outlet with some reporting record-high call volume these days.
But what motivates people to pick up the phones, dial a stranger, and pour their heart out? And just who are the strangers taking the calls? Filmmaker Tony Schaff wanted answers to those questions and wanted to start a conversation about how we deal with loneliness, isolation, and communication in an increasingly digital world.
Tony Schaff is the producer and director of the new documentary Hotline. He's also a former telephone psychic and suicide hotline volunteer. He joins us now. Tony, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Tony, why do hotlines like the ones we're talking about, everything from domestic abuse and suicide prevention hotlines to horoscopes, why are they so popular today?
Well, I think that, as you were saying, we are in an age where we're becoming more and more digitally isolated. I think people are willing to connect with each other through likes and shares on Facebook and Twitter. But picking up that phone and actually connecting with the people that are closest to you is becoming more and more rare.
Can you give us some examples about the common themes that would draw people maybe to call someone they don't know and share intimate things?
Well, I do believe that people are connecting in a time of need. They don't have people necessarily in their lives that they can say certain things to. It might be domestic abuse. It might be coming out as LGBT for the first time. Or just very simple things that we might take for granted.
Now, you go behind the scenes and talk to a lot of the people who provide these services, a wide variety of them. And what struck me, especially hearing people talk about, you know, mentioning coming out stories or suicide prevention, this seems to me like it would be an incredibly demanding, draining job. And for a lot of people, it's not a job. They're volunteers.
Yeah, it's very true. And we do explore that in the film. There is a bit of this vicarious trauma, I guess you would call it, by the volunteers or workers on hotlines. They really are taking on some of the most traumatic moments in these people's lives. We actually speak with 911 operators and people who work on these crisis hotlines, and it is such a demanding job. But what we also found was that people find this work so rewarding. It's them that are able to sort of provide a little solace in other people's lives. I'm sure that you probably understand quite well, working in radio, you're having to use the power of your voice to sort of to guide people through their days. And I'm sure people do turn to you and the power of your voices to make them feel a little bit better.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the people. Not on radio, but the people you talk to in your documentary who are on the other side of the lines, what is the experience for them like being privy to someone's maybe darkest hour, most vulnerable moment, and then just hanging up and that's it? You never really hear the end of the story.
I think it does challenge these workers quite a bit. They are hearing something, and they might not know what the next moment will be. Some of the hotlines have a mantra of, you never know. You never know what's going to happen next. You hope that the people will find help or will call back. But for the most part, these workers they don't hear from the people again. However, some of the people that I interview in the film have developed sort of long-term relationships. And I think that's another little interesting thing that happens with hotlines, is that these are intense and transient relationships. But some people will latch on, and it is intriguing, the connection that people might have over the telephone.
You know, if you've got a problem in this world, you could read about it. You can go online and maybe find some kind of help. You can email someone. A common theme I keep seeing in your documentary, though, is there's something about talking, and something about the power of talking and being heard and somebody talking back to you. What is it? What is it that makes that difference?
Yeah, some of our operators have sort of described it as like a sixth sense. Sometimes, even just silence, just sharing silence with someone is powerful. And I think that there is a tone. There is a way in which we use our words, and that can provide information that the written word just that can't provide. It's a little bit of a mystery. It's a little bit of magic, I think, that happens over these hotlines.
Now, you profile a guy whose name escapes me now, who just puts his number out there and says, "Lonely guy, call me." And he kind of goes viral. And he's at one point stays on the phone, I think, for 17 hours. Can you talk about him and what drives him, what it's like to be someone like that?
Yeah, most definitely. His name is actually Jeff One Lonely Guy. And he was here in New York City. And he posted a flyer that said, "If anyone wants to talk about anything, call me." And he put his phone number up. Someone took a picture of it, put it up on the internet, it went viral, and he just got nonstop calls. I think initially he was lonely and he was looking for someone to connect with, but what he found were there were so many other people that also just needed to talk to somebody. His story is very unique. I think that he's definitely one of those people as well that he just realized that it was much bigger than him, and he wanted to help other people. His phone number is still active, and people can still call him. I think that we sort of reached him at the point of filming the documentary where he was at a breaking point. He possibly had taken on too much, and he was hoping that maybe this would inspire other people to start reaching out and helping each other.
Now, with that story, and you also profile, you mentioned an LGBT call center where they talked about they were getting flooded with calls after they put their toll-free number up before they had advertised it at all, people just calling 800-INFORMATION. Why is there so much demand to be talked to and listened to?
Yeah, you know, I really do think that it is this idea that other people, you know, just people don't feel that they're available, or they don't want to burden the people closest to them with their issues. Sometimes it is just the stranger, this idea of someone who's not going to be judgmental, someone who's not going to put their own beliefs on you. It's just someone that you can share a moment with, someone that may provide advice, but really is just there to listen and isn't there to tell you what you should be doing in the next moment.
What about someone like a Miss Cleo? People might remember her from back in the 90s. She had a late-night TV show. You get to know her, and she's ultimately a pretty different person than she is on television, and it brings up ideas and thoughts about character building that go into this line of work. Maybe not so much the therapeutic kind, but what is it about Miss Cleo that draws people to her?
You know, she describes herself as a big mama, and I think people just really need that nurturing. People need to know that they're being listened to. You know, Miss Cleo, she was definitely, they had sort of shaped her in these infomercials to be someone who, she says in the film, just wasn't necessarily her. She has very strong beliefs. You know, her spirituality is very important to her. Ultimately, she was a mouthpiece for an organization that was getting people to call in and get their 5 free minutes of psychic readings. But as you saw in the film, she's very charismatic. She's someone you want to spend time with. And I think through the film, people get a chance to know Miss Cleo beyond just the "call me now" that was represented on TV.
Now, whether we're talking about Miss Cleo or the you know, the prevention workers or phone sex workers, it seems like a common theme is everybody has a story, if you've worked in this line, that's going to stick with you forever. Does this change the lives of the people who provide these various services?
You know, I do think so. I think that, you know, from a personal experience, I'm not featured in the film, but it really drove me working as a telephone psychic for just 6 weeks so I could fix my car, but then moving on into the suicide prevention hotline, I felt like I miss it to this day. Like, it's something that I crave. I want to help people, and I think that through this film, I'm able to tell my story through the stories of all these very intriguing and interesting people who sort of take us on their journey in a very thoughtful and provocative way.
Now, here we are in the age of Facebook and Twitter and texting. do you still see there being this allure to this kind of work, people calling hotlines, people wanting to answer the call to connect with, you know, a human voice just to talk, even though we have all these other means of communications now?
Well, you know, for so many members of marginalized communities out there, they're not able to find a community of their own. And I feel like hotlines are absolutely essential. I think that this film, by bringing awareness to hotlines and letting people know that it's important to reach out to those around them, I think that absolutely hotlines are essential, and I think that they will continue to be vital as a mode of communication. However, they might evolve. We're still using our phones. They're still on us. I think we're more connected to our phones more than ever.
Tony, thank you so much for joining us. We've been speaking with Tony Schaff. His new documentary is called Hotline.